You're listening to Clock Radio Speakers with Armand and Doc. And now, Side B.
Let's pick this up a little bit.
All right, let's do it.
Let's talk about With You. Featuring Party, Jeremiah, produced by...
Oh, that's Jeremiah at the end?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought that was a girl. shout out to... Okay, go ahead.
Produced by Murda Beats, Cardiac in 1985.
Let me first say that Jeremiah has my favorite single of 2016 right now.
Which is?
Came out last year, We.
Yeah, that's a dope record. You know, because it sounds like a Tarius Nash record.
Absolutely.
This could easily be a single.
This could do for Party.
I know.
What Crew Love did for the weekend.
Easily. Like, they have to put this out as a single for Party, right?
This has to be a single. This record's stupid.
So if this album is serious about the cycle of the seasons, the weather's getting warmer right now.
Yep.
With this song.
Yep.
Party completely crushes this record.
Yep.
And I, you know, I've been hit or miss on Party.
Me too.
This is a great song.
Yep.
Immediately, like so far out of all the songs, like as you're going through it, like this is immediately the best song we've heard to date on this album.
Yep. I can't believe people don't like this record.
People don't like this song?
I've heard quite a bit of feedback from people who don't like this record.
What?
I might be dissing a sect of our audience, but it's just like there's certain you have to listen to like certain music in certain environments to get it, to really get it.
I heard this and I immediately was like, oh right, like to me, like as soon as this beat comes on, it's like, oh right, like
I'll say
we're dancing. Like this is a record you play in the club.
I'll say this though, I may disagree with you a bit on the wrist. There's some tempos on this album that are a bit risky.
Okay. Well, we'll talk about that. Definitely.
I think this is a risky tempo. Like this is.
You think this is risky?
Maybe not risky, but unique.
He's stretching a little bit.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a stretch.
Sure. I think the success of a song like Hotline Bling enables With You to happen. That they're similar stylistically, but Hotline Bling, I won't say was a risk for Drake, but the combination of that song and that video,
yep,
took it was sort of him being light and yep, not serious.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm,
how far can we push that?
Yep.
And With You is a light record,
very light.
And I get it. A lot of hip hop fans, they don't like light records. I understand that. I'm just saying.
You rap fans.
We love all of you, and we hope that you rate us on iTunes and follow us on Twitter.
Yeah, I'm killing our audience, and Doc be like, no, come back. And I'm like, man, leave.
No, really. Actually, you know what? If you're listening and you don't like With You, I genuinely want to know why. Like, I get it. It's not a hip hop record, but this is a Drake album. So,
right.
The record after, oh, what was track four on So Far Gone?
Dang it.
You know which one I'm talking about.
Yes, I do.
Okay. Right after Successful.
Yep. Hold on.
Count It Off?
Call It Off.
Call It Off. Yeah, we should call it off. Anyway.
That was a dope record.
Right. Hey, guess what? That wasn't at all a rap record.
And that completely, like, I remember when that came out, people were like, what?
Right.
They were taken aback by it, but it was so dope, like you couldn't deny it.
I heard this within like 5 seconds of the song kicking in. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I'm in.
I can't front. I didn't get it until like... I seen this girl in the airport, like, oh my... And that record was playing as she was walking past me. And I was like, I got it. I get it. It was always a cool record. I never thought it was whack, but it's like seeing certain things and seeing certain things evoke certain emotions out of you makes things click. That's how I listen to music.
You're saying if some of our male listeners might need Sundress Season to be in effect.
I'm not going to co-sign people to lust because I didn't go there. Like, I didn't go there and like I didn't do the Wile E. Coyote thing. Like my eyes didn't pop out like my tongue.
Yeah, you did.
Yeah. It wasn't that, but I was just really admiring her beauty. Like she was really, really pretty.
Admiring her beauty.
I mean, there's a okay. Listen,
excuse me, fair maiden.
Yeah, there's a difference between like. There's a difference between like I wanna do you to oh my god, like you're really, really pretty, like you're beautiful. There's a difference.
But we really just need to advise all of our male listeners, please try not to go up to a female and say, I don't know if anybody's ever told you this, but you're just really beautiful. Because
Hey, I've done that before. Hey.
Talk about risks.
That's a risk.
That's a risk.
It's a risk.
I know they say you gotta shoot your shot.
You gotta shoot your shot.
I'll use another metaphor I like to use all the time. You gotta decide, is this the hill I'm gonna die on?
Yeah. You can't do that to everybody. You can't do that with everybody because there's a good chance that you're gonna die because she's just gonna be like, thank you.
Right. Like if you see someone walk past and you're like, oh, that's the future Mrs. Insert your last name, shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot.
Don't be a creep, but shoot your shot.
Shoot your shot.
But if she walks past and you're like, that could be Mrs. right now, you know what? Just let it go.
Let it go. You said, oh, God.
You could see the eyeballs bulging out.
Yes. Funny. But yeah, so with you should absolutely be a single.
So got to even like just for party alone.
Yeah.
See, because even though Drake snatched those records from Weeknd for Take Care, Weeknd was never signed. So, you know, there are monetary, like this would be a huge look for party.
And he's kind of got to like take a break.
Drake?
Excuse me. Yes. And by a break, I mean, somebody else needs to come out of OVO and make Drake some money.
Mm. Right. Cause like Majid Jordan's dope.
Yep. But they don't have that. They have like, they're like Tumblr R&B. You know what I'm saying? And, but what I mean by that is like their sound. If it was Universal, they've already shot their low with their other records. They gave Hold On, We're Going Home to Drake, and then some the other records like Her, and like if My Love didn't hit, it's a wrap.
You know what? Like if you're building your NBA team, if they're your third option, you're in good shape.
Agreed.
But they're not gonna, you know, they're not gonna be your number one option.
Yeah, they're not putting butts in the seats.
Right. Party, I've always been hit or miss on. He's had some records that I've liked.
Yep.
But yeah, I mean, in fact, I mean, look, I appreciate that it's on this album, but Drake has so many songs on this album. You trying to tell me he couldn't just give this Party? But right, as long if they make this a single, then it's all good.
Yep. I mean, he's on the first minute and a half, similar to how Abel was on Crew Love. Like, it works, man.
Yeah,
it makes too much sense. So. Hopefully. Shout out to Party, man, because I agree. This is the record that made me say, oh, okay. Yep.
Okay. Let's talk about Faithful featuring Pimp C and Division.
Yeah.
Produced by 4D Boy Wonder in 1985. Pimp C is entirely unnecessary on the song.
Completely unnecessary.
So his verse is taken from that Tom Ford remix, which I completely forgot existed.
Oh, okay. That's where it's from? All right.
Yeah. A little bit of Amber Rose in the intro.
Oh, that's Amber Rose?
Yeah, from her Instagram, I think.
Oh.
People sampling everything. The more this beat gets going, the better it gets.
Yep.
But it takes a bit to get there.
Yep.
There's a real theme to some of these records where it's like, man, you gotta wait like 2 minutes to get going.
Yep.
If you were to do a hypothetical 1.5 of this, you would need to like slim this song down considerably.
Yep. Yeah, you can totally like just do a let the beat build and then go straight into Drake's verse.
Right. And the Division part at the end is pretty good.
Division sounds like every R&B group from 1993 to like 1997 without their lead singer.
I'm okay with that.
They sound like the other four members of High Five. They sound like the other three members of Jagged Edge. They like every single arm. They sound like Portrait. They sound like Intro. They sound like every R&B group. I like it, but I can't. I like the song more.
Oh, interesting. I like Division.
It's cool. I think for like the sort of the throwback style to be in right now, for the 90s to be in right now, it's a, sometimes it can come off a little too contrived. Like, hey, remember this? Do, da, do, 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 do. You know what I'm saying? Like,
listen.
No, listen. No shot slander.
None.
No shot slander. What I mean by that is that's like the obvious go-to. That's all I mean. No, if I ever fall in love again slander whatsoever.
Never.
But I just feel it. It's not like a good retrospective where it's like, oh, wow, yeah, it's like a blend of the old and the new. It's like, I've heard this before.
Right. You know, yeah, that's kind of missing. Like, there were so many, like, 4 or 5 guy R&B groups in the 90s.
Yeah.
Can we bring that back?
I hope so.
I wouldn't be mad at
so.
That.
I hope so. How many people are in division? Is it just 2?
It's
is
just
it 5?
2.
It's got to be 5, man. Like, you got to have 5
it's just,
guys.
It's just 2 and only one of them doing singing.
Wow. So he did his own.
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, unless 1985 can sing as well. But yeah, it's just, right. I think it's a singer and a producer, much like Majid Jordan is a guy named Majid and a producer named Jordan.
Yeah. Nah, I imagine Division being like 5 guys. They're on the album cover. They've all got flannels on. With,
they're kind of matching, but there's one matching, that sticks out because he's the lead singer.
He's the lead singer. They have colored jeans on. I don't know if y'all remember when colored jeans were a thing. So it was like green. It's like a mustard. There's a maroon. And they were always tucked into Timberlands or Skechers. Like, people don't remember when Skecher boots was popping. That was, who had those on? Tupac had them on in Juice, like the big 40 below joints. So, whatever. That's what I imagine Division looks like, not just one guy.
Right.
But yeah, there's some, yeah, but this song is dope, man. This song is dope.
It just need to cut off the whole front part.
Yeah, the Pimp C part I could do without.
Right. What is a sample? This sample's
This is isn't this Ideal Get Gone?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That feels like a deep cut to sample.
That was a single. It's a deep R&B cut, yeah.
Right. All right. Anything else you want to say about Faithful?
Nope.
Let's talk about Still Here. Produced by some dude, Dax, D-A-X-Z, with help from 40 and Manish. This beat is simple, but... Oof.
This beat is dope.
Yeah. This beat in the car. Oof.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm not mad at this. I like the flow. The flow switch up is what makes this record.
Yeah, because I hate... It takes a while because I hate his flow on these.
Oh, really?
Verses. Yeah, it's just over and over and over and over and over. It's a little too much for me.
But that flow switch, when it comes, you're just like, oh, right.
Yeah, but it takes a while to get there.
I'm okay with that, just because this record doesn't drag to me.
It drags to me.
Mm, interesting.
I know I'm in the minority of that. That's cool.
Yeah, I like this song. This part of the album, like, I feel like we're kind of all over the place a little bit, like With You, Faithful, Still Here. Like, it starts to settle in a moment, but like, I feel like the sequencing is all over the map.
Yeah.
This is also the guy. So this is the guy who produced Back to Back.
Okay.
Which kind of makes sense because it kind of has a similar feel. But no, I like this. The beat makes this one for me and the flow switch.
Yeah.
All right. But anything else you want to say about Still Here?
Nah, I'm not crazy about it. It's actually one of my least favorite songs on the album.
Really?
But the beat is dope, but it's that flow, man. Like, it really takes a lot away from the song for me.
Hmm. All right. Let's talk about Controller.
Yes.
Produced by Boy Wonder, Super Dupes, Alan Ritter, some other people. He's really got a nice groove with these records.
This Lord of Mercy, Lick a Shot, Pondy Replay Drake. He's pretty good.
Yeah. I feel like I really feel like what, you know, I know they have more of these in the stash.
Of course.
You know, work sort of alerted people. Oh, they're going to be giving these out. Oh, by the way, did you hear the Party reference to Work?
I did. Wasn't bad.
Yeah. That's not even just a case where Party wrote it. Like, he gave her everything on that song.
Yep.
Everything.
Yep. And I hear people say, well, they should have just gave that to Party. No.
No.
No. It did exactly what it was supposed to do.
Right. This One Dance and Work are just going to, you're just going to hear those in the clubs all summer.
I'm adding Too Good to that conversation too.
Yeah. We'll get the Too Good.
Okay. Yeah. Control is really, it's a really, really good song. it's written well. It flows well. Like, it's just a good song.
Yeah, it grew on me. Because when I first heard the leak, I was like, eh.
Yeah, but same.
It helps to hear a mastered version because it's kind of weird the way that they mix this. If you're not listening on something that doesn't have decent bass, you're missing the entire dance hall bass progression that makes this song work. If you just hear this on like crappy little, you know, the headphones that came with your Android or iPhone, like you might not really kind of get the feel to this.
Yep.
This is really made to be heard on a system.
Yep.
But yeah, I like this record a lot.
Yep.
So it's interesting that this got leaked. And Popcan was on the original version, and then he got taken off. I heard some people complaining about that, but I think that's like, you know, it's probably like 1,000 people who've ever heard that version, so I think we're okay.
Right, we're okay.
How do you feel about the Beanie Man little parts on this?
I mean, it was whatever.
I did love when they threw in the reggae horns because I was like, but I was kind of hoping for a total beat switch at that point. I'm not gonna lie.
I mean, it kind of was because at the end of the song, right?
Yeah. Well, at the end, they kind of switch it up a little bit again. But no, Controller's good, and it ties in so much. Like Controller and One Dance, I'm pretty sure those records have always been back to back on this track list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Because they tie in so well together.
Yeah.
But yeah, now we just need what's the dude's name? Wayne Wonder.
No, we don't.
When I put on, what was I going to say? Because I didn't know on Thursday night, I didn't know when they were going to start premiering on Beats 1. I wasn't paying attention. So I was like making dinner. And so I just put on Beats 1. And it was Ebro hosting. And he was playing a bunch of Drake records. And he played One Dance. And then immediately after, he played Wayne Wonder. And nope. I was just like, oh God.
Nope. Nope. Nope.
But you like Controller?
No way, Wonder. Nope. But no, I really, really like Controller. Controller's dope. One of my favorites as well.
Okay, so in the context of the album, now we're at One Dance, produced by 1985 and 40 and WizKid. Again, 1985 is going to make a lot of money this year.
Yes, he is.
I'm guessing him and the OVO people probably, they've got a bunch of dance hall infused records ready for the summer. you know, just like what R&B singer needs a single right now?
Yep.
Who's struggling to get their album approved?
Yeah. I can hear a K Michelle record. K Michelle. I can hear Keisha Cole. Like I could hear like those third and fourth tier R&B artists. Trying to clamor for those.
Well, I guess like this came together at the last minute. One Dance did.
Okay.
They put it out. They didn't even really have time to like. So Kyla, who is sampled on it, and who's also got some, and they gave her a feature credit, but like they basically had to play it like portions of it to her over the phone because they were getting hacked, like these or hacked or whatever. Like, but basically that Controller leak and the other leak, the Faithful leak, like they had no idea like what was going to come out. So this One Dance was like trying to get something out there, believe it or not. In the context of the album, this song really works now.
Yeah, it does.
I had doubts about this song initially.
Yeah.
But this one's growing on me.
Yeah.
It's a good single.
It's a good single. Yep.
I can't believe that this is number two in the country. It's not that good, but that's not what matters.
Nope. It's getting warm out.
It's getting warm out. Mm-hmm. Drake had the perfect record for it. But yeah, yes. One Dance makes, you know, when you got Controller followed by One Dance makes a lot of sense. They work well together. Yeah.
Yep. I agree.
Nothing else we need to say about this?
Nope.
All right, let's talk about Grammys. Future Hendrix.
Yeah.
Produced by 40, Southside, Cardo, some other people. I mean, this is a Future record.
I ain't gonna lie, this record is hard. I don't care. I like Future's part more than Drake.
That's interesting. I mean, again, the beat takes a while to get going.
Yeah, it does.
This is basically two separate songs.
Yep.
Future's part, I'm not mad at. And once Drake's part gets going, I'm not mad at it either, but like the structure of the song is really weird to me. Like it's basically like a Drake intro to a Future song.
Yep.
People really like this record though.
Of course they do.
Cause it's Future.
Yeah. It's a good Future record. That's the thing. Like, okay. So excuse me, with Future, I don't know if I want like five mixtapes of Future.
Right.
But if you could condense those into maybe like 12, maybe 13, 14 records, which in retrospect, Dirty Sprite 2 was that. I like Future.
I mean, the problem is that Dirty Sprite 2 just isn't very good, but that's a different conversation.
I can't
tell these people. He has people of the world brainwashed. That's the only thing I can.
I feel like
I'm a crazy person.
For me, this is what it does for me. Hearing everything since then, so like Evil, Love spelled backwards. It's so sad. So like Evil and Purple Rain and everything he's put out since then, to me, makes Dirty Sprite 2 sound better. Because it's like, these are, out of all the records that we've done over the last year and a half, these are the best ones. That's what I want to hear. I'm not Monster 56 Nights, right. Beast Mode, Future. I'm not that guy.
You've seen the movie Zoolander, right?
Yes.
All right. You know how at the end, Will Ferrell's character is like, I feel like everyone's taking crazy pills because he's ranting and raving about how Derek Zoolander just does the same look all the time.
Yes.
That's how I feel when people talk about Future making records. He's making the same song over and over again. I feel like I'm like shouting and nobody cares.
I feel that.
That being said, as Future records go, this one's not bad. I don't know about this placement in the album. It's kind of in a weird spot.
Yeah, but it's summertime.
This doesn't feel like a summer record to me.
To me, it does.
Huh.
Yeah, this feels like middle, like we're well into summer on this record.
And I know that Future's thing is like, and it was interesting. Like, did you read the Metro Boomin thing in Fader?
No, I didn't, and I meant to.
Like, to hear how involved he is with Future's creative process is really fascinating.
Yeah, now I did hear his interview on Rap Radar, and he talked about that, where in some instances, Future would just freestyle.
I mean, basically, Future is just in the booth, like doing whatever, and Metro is like reorganizing the lines and getting the best stuff out.
Yep.
Which kind of makes sense. And like, in retrospect, I don't like this hook, you know, okay. I really feel like he just figured out, he knew he had the line of, they're going to think I won a Grammy. And he would try some other ones out, and then he would just come back to that until he could think of something else to say.
Yeah.
The hook's a little, you know, whatever. The song's all right. Not my favorite on the album.
Nah, this record is dope. I like it. I like it a lot.
You know what record is really dope?
What's that?
Child's Play. I love this song. Sleeper of the album.
Yeah.
Oh, no! produced by 4D, Metro Boomin, Majid Jordan in 1985. I love that Hot Sizzle sample is perfect.
Listen. So my only problem with this record is the song.
What?
I don't think the song is that good. I like the hook.
The hook is great.
The hook is good. The beat is crazy.
Yes.
But I don't like the song. I mean, once he starts rapping about Cheesecake Factory, I immediately shut down.
The problem is that's immediately going to be, like, people are going to love that.
That's Caption Drake.
Caption Drake.
Yeah, that's Meme Drake. That's Vine Drake. Absolutely. He's like low-key making fun of himself.
Right.
And yeah, I don't want to hear that. But the beat is crazy and the hook is dope. Like, and the hook works.
The Fat Boy sample at the end is perfect.
Yeah.
This song is little bit of, not a risk, but it's definitely a stretch, I feel like.
This is another one of those stretchy records.
And I think it works.
Yep.
Yeah, I like Child's Play a lot. I think I wouldn't be surprised though if this was a record that people didn't really like.
Yeah, this one's, from what I've seen, this is pretty love-hate.
Yeah.
Yeah, this
is pretty. All right. So we talked about it earlier, but we've got Pop Style.
Yeah.
The Drake solo version.
Yeah.
Produced by Seven Thomas, Frank Dukes, 4D, and Boy Wonder. In the context of this album, the song, the feel of the song makes a lot more sense. If that, I don't know. I don't know if that makes sense.
Is this fall?
No, because we haven't gotten to the Summer's Over interlude yet.
Oh, duh. Stupid.
At least I think not. I mean, if he has an interlude called Summer's Over and doesn't have it at the end of the summer, then that's just crazy. So, right. So I don't know about like where this fits in a summer record, but this song has grown on me tremendously.
Mm.
I thought it was okay when I first heard it, I think. I like it a lot now. It's not like an amazing song. It's not like his best song ever or anything. But
yeah,
this is an above average like record on this album. I like this song. I kind of wish, I don't know, I liked Kanye's verse on the original version. Am I crazy?
It wasn't like anything to write home about. Like, it was all right.
I don't know. I like the hook on this. I think it works. What do you think?
I don't really like this record in the context of the album.
Yeah, I think in the context of the album, I don't think it necessarily works. But like as a song, I think it's grown on me. But coming in between Child's Play and Too Good makes no sense.
Right.
Except that Drake felt he couldn't put... It's the same thing with why does Grammys come after One Dance? It's basically like Drake has this run of summary records, but he didn't feel like I got to get a hip hop record in there somewhere.
Yeah.
And it doesn't make sense. Doesn't fit with the flow.
Yeah. I agree. I'm good on this song. It's fun. It was funny the first time hearing Drake do Jay's part. Like, oh, so that was better. I just don't like the hook, but it was better.
Oh, see, I like the hook. It's kind of.
Well, I mean, I'm sorry, not Drake, not the hook. I mean Jay's part, the two-bar bridge.
The two-bar bridge.
Yeah, but yeah, I'm cool. I'm cool. I'm cool on Pop Style. Just cut it and let it live as a single. It didn't need to be on the album.
Yeah, like this made it on, but Summer 16 didn't.
Right.
Really?
Right.
I mean, you've got the record called Summer's Over. Summer 16, anyway, you could take out Faithful and put Summer 16 right in there, and it totally makes sense.
Mm.
Anyway, let's talk about a record that I know you cannot wait to talk about.
Woo!
Too Good, produced by the album's MVP, 1985, and Super Dupes.
Hundy Replay! Pass shoots!
Instant hit single.
Elephant Man Drake.
Instant hit single.
This is another song that I'm seeing people don't like. And I'm like,
What? I heard this and I immediately, as soon as that beat came in, I was like, oh, right. Again, some songs just work. And then just like the structure, like this is a well-written pop song.
Yes, it is. Very well-written.
And you're right. Pondy Replay Drake.
Pondy Replay Drake. Like, right. I'm curious because I was thinking about like, yo, this is so obvious as like a late summer record. Because you could put out With You Now,
mm-hmm.
and that could live. And then as it sort of begins to trail off in June, July, May? Okay, it's May already. Dang. So you could put Too Good out in like August.
Yeah.
And let it be like the Indian summer record because it feels like the end of the summer.
Right.
Like it feels like you had your summer fling and now y'all are breaking up.
Right.
So it totally, but I'm like, do you do that after y'all spent the first 6 months of the year pushing work? Like, do you come back again with not the exact same record, but just Drake and Rihanna again with another single? Does that make sense?
Yeah, I think you got to let work totally do its thing. Then you come back with this. This is too good. I mean, it took them a while, but even like Take Care, they eventually put out.
True.
They can put the song out whenever.
Yeah, man. There's just money sitting on this. There's just money sitting on this.
Everything. It's amazing to me, like that One Dance might get to number one if it can get Panda out of the way, but it's nowhere near as good as Too Good.
Right.
Everything about this, the concept, the vibe, the beat, like everything just totally works.
Yep.
I can't believe people don't like this record.
Yeah.
They don't like this. They don't like this or With You.
That's why I say, man, you got it. Like, man, you got to interact with the opposite sex more. Like, you got to be married or in a committed relationship or like just, yeah.
Oh, I don't. Like, you know, she comes over and you put on Pop Style? No.
No, they're putting on Western Road Flows. You know that.
Western Road Flows.
You know that. Yo, you want to hear Drake? Play Light Up. Like, yo, like Drake is like, it's right there at the rim. And you're like, let me play Dice Pineapples. No, not going to work.
No, you play this. You play With You.
Yeah.
But yeah, this record totally works. All right. So fitting with the theme of the album, we are now at Summer's Over, produced by Manish. This is Majid Jordan singing on this.
Oh, that's who that is. Okay. Yeah,
it's not a sample.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't a sample, but I had no idea who that was.
How do you feel about this song?
It's really eerie and ominous.
Really?
Yeah, like it feels like, it's not eerie like spooky, but it feels like a bad day.
Huh.
I'm trying to describe it accurately. It just feels like I'm sad that the summer's over.
Hmm. Okay. Yeah.
So I like it, but I don't listen to it all the time. What about you?
I'm not mad at it. I think it's kind of like the intro where it's like, it totally makes sense in the context of the story, but this is an 81 minute album if you count Hotline Bling or 77 without it or whatever it is. But like, this is a long album.
Yeah.
And I don't know if interludes that Drake isn't even on are really necessary.
Sure.
But I'm not mad at it. If you're trying to tell the story, I get it.
Yeah.
You know, we're in, you know, it's we've been in the digital music age for a while. It's not like you're, you know, listening to this on tape and you have to fast forward every time and it's a pain. Like, you can just skip over it. It's not a big deal. So
Right.
Yeah. I'm not mad at it. It's a good interlude. It's just a weird kind of, you know, this Manish guy, he's really got dramatic sounds.
Yeah.
But no, it's a cool record. I'm curious how you feel about Fire and Desire.
I haven't heard this song all the way. This is the worst song on the album to me.
Really?
Just completely unnecessary.
Yeah. It takes some real confidence to write what appears to be a love song about Nicki Minaj in 2016.
Oh, is that really? Do I need to hear this? See, this might be a reason why we need to talk in between the show, because I had no idea and hadn't heard anybody say that.
I'm actually looking at see if Rap Genius feels the same way, and they do. That's the speculation. You know, someone's throwing nerd on his name. You know, there's some. You know.
Yeah, hold on, we go to Genius real quick. What?
Yeah. Here's the problem. They've done this song better before.
Yeah.
The Brandy sample is cool. Like, yeah, the song's okay.
Yeah.
I've seen people really like this song.
Do they?
Yeah.
I haven't heard anybody talk about this song.
But yeah, did you hear what Drake said on the on that Zane Lowe interview about Nicki?
The one where he's like,
so awkward.
I'm reading it right. And this is what.
Yeah.
What, yeah. Yeah. It just. Yeah. I mean, it's. Anyway,
it's Drake.
It's Drake. It's a Drake response.
Here's the problem I have with this. Honestly, this record is just unnecessary.
Completely.
Because the total layup is Summer Over Interlude into Views.
Yeah.
Oh, we'll talk about Views in a second. But like Fire and Desire, I'm like, eh.
Yeah.
Eh.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yep.
I feel like this is going to sound weird. Like, maybe it's because it's warmer weather, but like on this album especially, the like if Drake's making, you know, what used to be, we've talked about this many times on the show, what used to be, sort of derisively called a chick record, but what we might just call a Drake record, right?
Yeah.
A Drake relationship record.
Uh-huh.
Drake has two kinds. There's like the sad relationship record and like the happy relationship record.
Yep.
His happy relationship records are way better now.
Yeah.
These sad relationship records, I'm not really feeling it like I used to from him.
Yeah.
They've done these records better before. I know. I heard almost his whole catalog today.
Agreed.
Yeah. Like, I've heard people compare what he's trying to do with the feel of this album to Take Care. And, like, records like Good Ones Go or Cameras or just blow some of these songs out of the water.
Good Ones Go is ridiculous.
Yeah. Good Ones Go blows any of these, like, you know, Fire and Desire or what's the other one? Redemption or blows all those out of the water.
Yep.
Yeah. Sorry. It's a 19 or 20 track album. Like, you just don't need the song.
Yep.
All right. Let's talk about Views.
Let's do it.
Produced by Manish, 40, Boy Wonder. This sample.
When I heard this, I immediately was like, Doc is going to love this beat.
How can you not?
Very easily.
Don't even.
I don't like this beat.
Oh!
It just sounds, like an NPC falling down a flight of stairs. Like there's no melody.
And that concludes this episode of Clock Radio.
There's no melody to this beat, especially coming off using a very melodic sample like The Whinin's The Question Is, one of the greatest gospel songs ever in life.
You don't like this beat?
No. This is one of those records where okay, so here's one thing that I did notice about him. His outros, he likes to really flex on his outros. He likes rapidy rap outros. Thank me later.
That song is so mediocre.
It's extremely
aggressively average.
Yeah, really bad. But he did have the AI mic line, which is dope. Thank Me Later. The Ride, which is one of his best.
The Ride is incredible.
Okay, I thought that growl was
the
growl. I was about to say, wait a minute.
I'm practicing for the eventual Ja Rule retro. No.
We do still have to do a murder.
I got to get my raspiness on par.
Rule, baby! I'm trying to think. What else? Paris Mort Music 2, Pound Cake. Like, he... 30 for 30. Did he do that on 6 p.m. in New York?
Yeah.
He likes these types of records. And most of those records, minus Thank Me Later, are dope to really, really good.
And this song is really, really good.
Nah.
Yeah.
Nah, son.
Now, drums are a little simplistic, except for that nice little drum roll that comes at a certain point.
I would just get Just Blaze to do that.
Yeah. They really let the sample do the talking here, the sample chop. I love this song.
Of course you do.
I don't understand how you don't like it.
You know why you love it? Again, you know I'm going to say this.
Go ahead.
You know why you love this record?
Why?
Because you would and have made this beat.
It's a great beat. Real recognize real. And you're looking real familiar right now. I mean, out of all the things to complain about, you're really going to complain about the beat here?
Yeah, it's not because it could be so much more.
Huh. See, yeah, I think you could easily take this too much. Like, you could get way over the top. You could get really beaty McBeatmaker with the drums.
Sure, absolutely.
So I appreciate the restraint. I think it works. Yeah.
Sure.
Some of the bars on here are a little...
Yeah, I wish I would have wrote down the good lines because, I mean, there's a lot of backlash. Okay, so here we go. A lot of this backlash reminded me of the Blueprint backlash that Jay got.
Did Jay stop using Ghostwriters then too? Or how did that?
Well, I mean, like, that was widely considered a weak album lyrically. They were like,
yo, I bounce up like round ball.
I pack heat like the oven door.
You know, there were definitely, remember, we used to call them the hashtag punchline.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I caught a couple whiffs of hashtag punchline Drake on here. I think, I mean, look, like, it's well known. Drake gives him credit. He doesn't really talk about him much, but, like, you know, Hush helped out quite a bit. Hush is still in the family, but he's not in the credits anymore. I'm not sure why.
Who?
Right.
No, I'm serious. Who are you talking about?
Hush.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
So he's not with the team anymore?
He is, but he's not in these credits. There's no, like, the usual suspects of people who helped Drake out. They're not here. These look like Thank Me Later credits in terms of the rapping. And to me, the rapping on here, that's actually what struck me. That's what made me really start to go look at the credits. I don't want to sit here and say that all of Drake's lines are like 100% coming from other people, but it's clear he gets help typically.
Yeah.
I feel like after what happened, he wanted to do it mostly on his own.
Mm.
I think it's one thing if you get a couple lines here and there from Party or a hook here, you know, Party helps on a hook or whatever. But like when it comes to rapping, I think he wanted to do most of this on his own. And who knows, maybe there's, because that's the thing. People talk about ghostwriting and I don't know. Ghostwriting is when you don't get credited.
Right.
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 So Drake has help. Drake gives credit. I will say they took a little while to come out with the official credits. And part of that is it seems like they're pretty sloppy with credits at OVO.
Yeah.
In terms of like, I feel like they just crank. Like there was one record on here, Western Road Flows. 40 forgot that this guy helped produce it. Like, I think they're just making so much music. They're like, oh, did I produce? Like he actually, because I was reading a thing from 40 where he was literally like, wait, because him and Drake were talking about that record. And Drake's like, you produced that, right? And 40's like, yeah, I think so. Like if you're making that many beats,
yeah.
If you're doing that many songs,
yeah.
But you know, so Drake, we're not talking about ghostwriting. We're talking about people helping out Drake. You know, it. I mean, I keep it 100 like I'm a running fever. Ugh. Like I could just start to, you know, these are thank me later lines.
Yeah.
I think that's Drake. And I think we've noticed an improvement at various times. I think what we heard on Take Care, Nothing Was the Same, was him getting a little bit of help from Hush. And apparently that was really good because the bars there were better.
Yeah.
He had a different style on If You're Reading This. And, well, that's true. He had different people helping, you know? I mean, I don't think it's a knock to say that. We talk about how Kanye's style changes all the time. But at this point, it's like, well, why don't you just keep getting help?
Right.
But the problem is that, like, I mean, many rappers are really lacking self-confidence.
Sure. Oh, my God. Rappers are some of the most insecure people you'll ever meet in your life.
Right. The more they boast, the more insecure they typically are.
Absolutely.
It's really clear how insecure Drake is about his place in hip hop.
Oh, you want to have this conversation now?
I mean, I think this is a time to have it because we're not going to talk about Hotline Bling being on here.
Right.
Which is on here just so that they can get a little extra boost to make sure they get their plaque because of the way they count streams.
He might get a mil. So.
He's not going to need it. That doesn't count towards like first week sales or anything. It just counts towards how they determine if something's platinum or double platinum or whatever else. It doesn't fit in with the album sequencing at all. It kind of feels tacky that they put Hotline Bling on here. But anyway.
Because Views feels like...
Views is the closer.
Views are the credits.
Right, right.
Like you could have put... Honestly, you could have put Redemption and then Views.
I would actually done like Too Good, Redemption. Because Redemption would then be the flip side of what they're saying about I'm Too Good. Then you close it out with Summer Over right into Views.
Yeah, yeah. Right. I like that.
Uh-huh.
So Drake, yeah. I really feel like Drake's quote-unquote exposal, let's just call him the poster boy for ghostwriting, having ghostwriters, having help. He really, and I said this, like he really wanted to be considered one of the greats. That was a real legit desire of his.
Yes.
And now that he knows that that won't ever happen, now he's the point guard who won't pass. And he's dribbling, he's dribbling for like 19 seconds. And then he's just going to try and create a play with the last 5 seconds of the shot clock lyrically. So he still has great songs. There's still really good songs on this album. But if we're just talking about the raps, Like, nah.
It's crazy, too, because he's going to go down as one of the most successful rappers of all time.
Absolutely.
But yet, what he apparently cares about is being known as one of the best MCs.
Yep. But I mean, Drake comes from that school.
I know. I know.
So, of course he does. Who doesn't? I do. You know what I'm saying? Like, if you are a rappity rapper and you don't want to be everybody's favorite, like bar for bar, then you shouldn't be rapping. So yeah, this obviously is messing with him. And this is just like, I just got denied for parole and like, I'm never getting out of jail. Like, this is just going to be the rest of my life.
In a sense, what happened with Meek last summer, I think influenced where he went with this album.
How so?
If that stuff with Meek doesn't happen, does he have Quentin Miller helping out? Does he have Hush helping out? Does he have other people helping out?
Yeah. No, that's right. That's right.
So if that whole thing doesn't happen, does this album turn out the way it does?
Right. I follow you.
Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be too nerdy about the credits, but it's like, it's really instructive. Like, you know, I think on Take Care, I think Hush is on like 12 tracks.
Mm.
He's all over Nothing Was the Same. And then if you're reading this, well, we've heard the references and stuff from other people, a couple lines here and there and stuff like that. I'm not saying he's getting entire verses written. In some cases, he's getting parts of it, or it's a reference, or it's a little bit, and then he builds on it or does whatever. But like, to go from that sort of mantra of working, and then if you look at the credits for What a Time to Be Alive, it's really clear that was just rushed in the studio. We all know that. But it's just Drake, Future, and like Southside and Metro on all those records. That's it.
Yeah.
But to go from like, so this is just a completely different way for him to work. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And so in a sense, I don't want to say Meek Mill won because he didn't, because Meek Mill's career will never be the same. But Drake was more affected by it than he attempted to let on, clearly.
Yeah.
Because if he didn't care, he would have made his album. He would have had whoever helped with whatever. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I feel you. That makes sense.
That's a totally interesting and unexpected outcome of Meek versus Drake last summer.
Yeah.
Who would have thought?
Yeah. Because you would think that this would be like a victory lap album.
Right. He could have for all he cares, just have Quentin Miller, give a single word on every song here, give him in the credits. And then he could just literally just post to Instagram credits and just at Meek Mill nonstop. Like, really, like, what, he won. It doesn't matter. But it matters to Drake.
It matters to Drake.
Right.
And that's an instance of Drake being Drake's worst enemy.
Yeah.
So here's my thing about Drake on this album.
Okay.
Drake is LeBron James.
Oh, God. Don't. Right, keep going, but I don't even like where you're going.
Okay. So this is why. LeBron James is one of the greatest players to ever step on an NBA court. Yep. Correct?
Correct.
LeBron's Achilles heel is that he does not surround himself with the best players and the best coach. He surrounds himself with people who will accommodate LeBron James. And that is the ceiling of LeBron James, where he doesn't have a coach who will like wring his neck if he makes a mistake, that will tell him, no, LeBron, you're wrong. Like, and LeBron is pretty much running the Cleveland organization, and your man Comic Sans Dan is merely the front man. Now, I feel like Drake needs a bit of a shakeup, because that's what we all need. When we get a little complacent, because overall, this album is really good. I like it, but it's complacent.
I don't know if it's really good.
It's cruise control Drake.
Cruise control Drake. That is for sure.
I like it. I like the album.
The second half, the latter two thirds are better than the first third.
Sure. I give you that. But I feel like something needs to happen to Drake to shake him up.
He hasn't taken the L yet.
He hasn't taken the L yet. And I said, when we did our predictions, I said Drake was going to take an L this year.
But he's not. People like this album.
Right.
It's going to sell a ridiculous amount.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's not an L.
Yeah. We still got 6 months to go, buddy.
We do. But this album isn't the L. You know what I mean? Even though I'm not gonna lie, I'm disappointed by parts of it.
Sure,
it's just bloated. That's an interesting thing about like Drake needs to switch it up. Like, call Rick Rubin.
But that's exactly what I'm talking about.
Strip this. Like, get this lean.
That's what I'm talking about. That's why 40 and the OVO camp is like David Blatt and Spoelstra.
Yeah. So you think it's like they could just keep doing the same old thing?
Yeah, but it's like nobody's going to tell Drake, like, yo, cut that. Because right. they're too close. Rather versus a Phil Jackson, a Pat Riley, who will come in there and tell their star player, like, you tripping.
Right.
Sit down.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like that. So, yeah, call in Rick Rubin, but it's not going to happen. Mm. Not unless Drake takes an L.
Right.
But I mean, we've talked about that on many episodes and our other conversations. Like, life is about taking L's. Like, you get better when you take L's.
Right, because that means you got to switch it up. You got to do something different.
Yep. Insanity is doing the same thing and expecting different results. And I think what a lot of people's disappointment is the fact that this was supposed to be the classic. This was supposed to be what Beyonce's last album was for her. And it was not. Mm. It's a cruise control album. So now people are like, well, yeah, it's good, but this wasn't what it was supposed to be or what we thought it was supposed to be.
Now, I think part of that problem is because Drake can do so many different styles, it's only going to get harder.
Sure.
To make something that is going to be universally defined as, oh, that's the album.
Sure.
Right? Because it used to just be, at a simplistic level, is Drake going to be rappity rapping? Or is he going to be sensitive Drake, right?
Right.
But now we've got, you know, Pwn the Replay Drake. We've got sensitive Drake. We've got, you know,
Paranoid Drake.
We've got, you know, still rapidly rap. Like, you've got different Drakes. You've got different fan bases.
Yeah. Because,
like, I think a sizable chunk of that fan base who's like, you know, why isn't this as classic? They would, if they were in the studio, if they had the option, they would have been like, with you, no, get that out of here.
Right.
You know? And look, if you take off like records like With You and Too Good, all of a sudden this record doesn't have a lot to stand on.
Yeah.
It, the, and the, The other thing that's kind of one more thing I want to say about the sequencing. So first of all, the sequencing of this, I the idea of going winter to summer to winter is interesting. I don't think it works, because what it ends up doing is it ends up concentrating your radio single records in a weird spot on the album.
Yep.
Like, you don't get to a potential single until track 8.
Yep.
Because I like Feel No Ways, but Feel No Ways won't be a single.
No.
You With Me is not a single.
No.
You know. So the fact that you don't even get to track 8, and then all of a sudden, and then there are these weird, and then, but because there are so many of them grouped together, he feels like some of his fans won't like it if he just went, you know, a bunch of those records back to back to back. So he's throwing in like, oh, let me put Faithful in here. No, let me put in Grammys in here, even though it doesn't really fit there, you know?
So what it sounds like you're saying is that he is sort of faltering at, he has too many audiences that he's trying to appease, and he's not doing, it's like trying to keep, it's like a bunch of pies falling out of the sky. And he's like,
yeah, I think it's two things. Thanks for reining back in there. I'm sort of rambling. So I think number one, I think he has a lot of different audiences. It's tough to keep them interested. And I think to keep them all interested when you're trying to all do the same thing, which is why he is just an absolute immediate contender for somebody who could easily put out a series of EPs. If he really wanted to. Actually, that'd be an interesting move, like next year.
Yeah.
You know,
he could put out four. Like a lot of rappers are trying to do the winter, summer, spring, fall thing.
God, I hope he called it 4 for 4 too. Wouldn't that just be fantastic?
Wouldn't it?
You could just put it right on Apple Music. But surprise, like, he could totally do it. Surprise drops. Like, actually, if you wanted to do something with seasons, that's the way to do it.
Yeah.
But, oh, and that's the other thing. So the other thing with the season idea is, like, that's kind of an interesting idea. But, like, is that really how you want to base your album?
Right.
I just don't think that concept works. Not at all. To me, anyway. Especially, like, over a weird, like, album. And the other thing is, why would you begin on winter and end on winter?
Because
it's Toronto.
But and Toronto's known for winters. Right.
So you're beginning cold and you're ending cold.
Yeah.
That's a weird feel to an album.
I think it's probably because, you know, maybe it's, here I go being fake deep. Maybe it's that everything is cyclical. So no matter, despite some things changing, some things stay the same. And the cold represents that. The winter's always going to come back.
Sorry, I got distracted because breaking news. This is not Clock Radio Speakers topic. Ted Cruz is withdrawn.
Yep. I saw that, and I saw Hassan Whiteside just got injured.
Oh, no.
Bad, really bad leg injury.
Oh, no. That totally changes that series.
Yep.
Huh. Boy, Raptors really need that.
Yeah, that helped them out.
That did. Oh, man.
Yeah, y'all haven't did a plead the fourth in a while.
Nah. Took a bit off. Our schedules did not work at all.
Gotcha.
Anyway, so you like this album?
I do.
Okay. I like chunks of it.
That's real.
It gets off to a slow start.
It does.
And it's weird because, like, again, I know I'm beating a dead horse. Like, records like You With Me and Feel No Ways and even Hype, like, you circulate those in different ways on this album, and I feel like they might work better.
Yeah.
But 9, You With Me, Feel No Ways, like, it takes forever to get going. So let me ask you this. Like, before we heard, so last week, before we had heard this album, is this the kind of album you were expecting from Drake?
No.
What were you expecting?
I don't know what I was expecting, honestly. I try not to have expectations musically.
Mm. Yeah, you mentioned how you had to take some time to kind of get out of your expectations, and then
Like I know I had some sort of expectations, but I know I wasn't expecting a cold sounding R&B album. Right. I was not expecting that. But in context, like, I get it. It makes sense, especially in telling that story. Like Drake comes from that old school, like, he wants a body of work. He wants a Hell Hath No Fury. He wants a Blueprint, a Reasonable Doubt, a full body of work that fans immediately point to when they mention his name. And it's like they kind of mentioned Take Care with that, but Take Care was a victim of sequencing. Listening to that in retrospect, like, they totally could have redid the second half of that album.
They could have totally altered, and, like, they left off tracks that should have been on there. They included tracks that didn't need to be there.
Yep.
But that's the story of most of Drake's stuff. They record. He records so many songs.
He records a lot of, and here's his problem.
Like, he left Trophies off of Nothing Was the Same.
Well, I thought they left it off because it was a sample clearance and he didn't like the hook.
But then they put it out officially on that Young Money compilation.
Because they redid the hook. They did the hook. He did the hook like a month and a half after the album came
really?
Out.
Oh, really? Interesting.
Yeah. Because he was playing. Remember, he was playing it live. It was like the club. Was it not the Club Paradise tour? I forgot what it was.
Yeah,
whatever
yeah,
that
yeah,
was. Yeah. They were playing it live. So like the versions were leaking.
Right.
And there was a rumor that he was putting out the actual song.
Or even the records they put out that summer before. Like that Jodeci freestyle. Oh.
Yeah. Didn't he have like a Sampa record? Sampa?
Yeah.
It was a cut. Some of them four.
Oh,
records.
Was it The Motion?
The Motion.
That's a dope record.
It's a dope record.
And I like Too Much, but I think I like The Motion more.
I like them both. I think those both could have existed on Nothing Was the Same.
Right. And you could have made change. And, you know, yeah, I want to, you know, backseat drive on every album. Right? I always want to resequence. But like for Drake especially, like he just puts out so much stuff. It's amazing to me that he will constantly put out these albums that are sometimes overstuffed. And yet there's still more stuff that he didn't put on there.
Yeah. That's better than the stuff that didn't necessarily need to be on the album.
Right. And the whole theme of this album is he's drawing in, right? The whole first like chunk of it is basically like he's not trusting anybody.
Yeah.
You know? And
people selling his secrets and...
Well, that's an interesting problem they have.
Well, here we go.
That's so an argument for switching it up.
Well, here's my question. Why are you telling all these people your secrets? You know what I'm saying? Like...
Well, I mean, it's funny, right? Because we can take this full circle, right? I watched season one of The Wire over the weekend and, you know... Cops bust you all of a sudden, you know, and they didn't have your strategy before. You got to change it up, right?
Yeah.
Stop talking on the payphones, you know, do this instead.
Right. Right.
Well, I know Drake's solution to, now maybe he's going to solve this problem, but I don't think so because there's still stuff out there. Maybe it's just a long-term thing because so much stuff is out there, but clearly his stuff was just leaking. And so his answer was apparently get rid of the other people because there's a lot of 40 in here, but there's always a lot of 40. There's also a lot of Boy Wonder, more than we've seen in a while. And he had, I think, a diversity of production on Nothing Was the Same that you just don't see here. You know, there are definitely new names in the mix. There are definitely people who are who make appearances and stuff. But like, I feel like 2/3 of this album is basically boils down to 40, Boy Wonder, and 1985. You know,
yeah,
mm-hmm. Which is all OVO sound. So, you know, and for the most part, you know, I'd say the majority of it is pretty good work too. But, you know, I thought that Nothing Was the Same. He had started to work, you know, there was just different sounds and different styles. And that's actually the sound of Drake that I don't hear on here at all. I definitely hear some Take Care. I definitely hear some If You're Reading This. I don't hear a lot of Nothing Was the Same Drake, with the exception of Views, which sort of tries to be a little Tuscan Leather.
Yeah. So there's no, I guess
like, maybe there's nothing like Worst Behavior or Connect, like that kind of beat, you know?
Maybe Hype.
Hype,
but
is
I guess
nothing,
that's probably more If You're Reading This,
it
right?
It is. It's like, it's almost like Drake, either he doesn't want to, or it's almost like he forgot that there's another way to make a hard hip hop record that doesn't sound like If You're Reading This.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, overall, it's a good album.
Yeah.
It's not great.
I want to see the life line of this album.
Yeah.
And I want to hear it again when it gets cold outside.
I need to see what this sounds like later on. I need to give this some time. I like it when albums open strong. I do.
Sure. And they should.
Yeah.
Because strong openings create trust between the music and the listener. So if you want to take a risk, you've already given them like 4 or 5 songs in a row where they're like, all right, you want to go left for a second? That's fine.
Right. Like, it's funny. If people are complaining about With You, if this album had opened 3 songs really strong, nobody would care.
Mm.
Interesting.
Interesting. Interesting.
I mean, like, I, you know, look at Life of Pablo. That opens very strongly, incredibly strongly. And
yeah.
And then, you know, so if he does some stuff later on you don't love, who cares? Just go back and listen to those first 4 songs.
It's in the middle. Yeah. It's, yeah. Pablo starts off strong, it tails off in the middle, and then picks back up towards the end.
Right. All right. Anything else you want to say about Drake? So he's going to tour. I think he's going to tour. It's him and Future, and I'm guessing some OVO people.
Party's got to open up.
I would hope so.
Party's got to open up. Division's got to open up. Majid's got to get 10 minutes. Like, he's got to. They've got to fit those guys in. And that's the thing. Like, I'm not. Okay, so here's the thing about the life of Pablo. In retrospect, I think this is one thing that Kanye did that I'm starting to realize, because I'm really studying that album.
Yeah.
And one thing that he did was he immediately attached the live experience to the music by doing the thing in Madison Square Garden. So some of those records are going to sound better live. I want to hear them in a big building.
Yeah.
This album is not a big sounding album. I don't want to hear, like, it doesn't make me want to go to this concert, because maybe outside of Grammys, maybe hype and, yeah, like, I don't want to hear any of these records live. Like, With You is a great record. Too Good is probably going to be dope live, but, like, number one, when they come to Columbus, Rihanna's not coming out on stage to sing it. And number two, like, they're great enough in my house, in my car, in my headphones.
Yeah, this is not a stadium record at all.
Not at all.
It's not an arena record.
But a record like Famous, records like Fade, 30 Hours, like, those are big records where I want to hear them surrounded by 10,000 people. Mm. So, you know, Kanye did a good job of setting that up. Drake, not so much. It may just be one of those things where he feels like his name is going to sell the ticket.
I mean, the name is selling the album, the name is selling the ticket. He's going to be fine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're still going to. Oh, yeah. He's not going to worry about ticket sales. But I wish that he would have made an intentionally bigger sounding album.
But that's the thing. This isn't. I mean, the intro attempts to be over the top and big. But, like, this is an internal album.
Yeah.
It's not big.
So then you have to set it up. You have to set it up around your already big records, especially since you've got Future there.
Right.
You can have him come out for, like, a section to sort of turn it up. But then if you set up the tour to make people sort of feel like they're alone in a room full of strangers, then he can pull it off. Hmm. So I think that's it for Drake. I think we're good.
So as always, thank you everybody for listening. Let us know what you think about the album. Hit either of us up individually on Twitter, or just tweet at the show at CRS Podcast, all one word. I can't wait to hear what people think. I had no idea how you. Yeah, I had no idea what you were gonna think about it, Armand. So you know, that was you threw me for a loop on views there. I still can't believe you don't like the beat to views. I'm sitting here just like, how is that even possible?
Easily, it's not melodic.
I hear you. That sample though. Mm.
Sorry, I'm gonna send you some gospel, man. We got
please
we
do.
Gotta
talk. Please,
yeah,
do.
We got some things to discuss offline.
Okay, and on that note. that ends this week's episode of Clock Radio Speakers. Check us out on 4th District. Thanks to them as always. And you got anything else, man?
I'm good, man. Thanks. All right. Thanks for listening.